this is Michael Bozy. Welcome to Marketing Without the Marketing. Very, very glad that you can be here. I've been getting a bunch of questions about social media in particular. So what I thought I'd do, I've been thinking about this for a while, been sort of leading up to this, is to launch a series. I'm calling this the Social Media Strategy Series, just to do sort of a deeper dive into my strategies for each of the major social platforms. And I thought I'd devote one episode per platform. Now, the goal here is to give you some criteria and considerations as to whether or not each of these platforms will be good for your business in particular. And of course, only you can make that decision. But remember, I'm just a practitioner, right? I use this stuff every day in my own strategy and for my clients too. So this series is not meant to be, this comprehensive view of each platform's statistics and the up-to-the-minute updates with their latest changes to the platform. It's more about the strategy that you might use for each and then just helping you figure out whether or not it's right for your particular business. And I don't like to get hung up on sort of how popular the platform is, the demographics, the number of monthly average users. I mean, yes, that stuff's important, but when it comes down to it, each audience is unique, just like your business is unique, right? And in my practice, I've seen successes and failures that go completely against that sort of conventional wisdom about what each platform is or supposed to be. So I just say go into each of these with an open mind, and I'll just try to give you, the considerations, and then it's up to you to make the decision. So that leads us to the big question, and the topic of this episode, is Twitter right for your business? Now, any discussion of social media for me starts with Twitter because it's undoubtedly my best channel. And furthermore, I think that if you're building an audience, it's actually the best channel for that. And why? Well, because it's an open network, first and foremost, right? So in other words, it's great for connecting with people that you don't know yet. This is different than other platforms where you need to invite them. And it's not to say that Twitter doesn't have these restrictions too, but for the most part, you can connect with anyone, anywhere in the world, in this sort of, very quick 140-character, in effect, worldwide text messaging service, if you want to think of it that way. And Twitter's pretty good about this. Just the sort of character and philosophy of the platform is that there's really not many restrictions on what you post, right? And in further segments, when we're talking about Facebook, you'll see that there's a lot of restrictions on that. And also who sees particular posts, right? Twitter doesn't really do that. They just say, here's the platform, go do with it what you will. So it's everything from sort of broadcasting messages out there and, quick messaging back and forth, whether you do that via direct message, sort of privately, or more openly, which is the way that I prefer, where you're just having sort of a conversation bi-directional using the platform. And, there's been a lot of talk lately about maybe Twitter starting to flag or it's failing or, just last week it fell behind the monthly average users of Snapchat. This was big news. And over the past few months, people have been sort of talking about the death of Twitter. And look, I just think Twitter isn't a good investment of your time because one, people have been saying that about Twitter for a long time, right? Because it serves this very particular purpose, and a lot of people still don't get it, or they're not using it, or not having success with it. But I think it's one of the best platforms of the majors because, and this is going to sound, maybe contrary to business or the business world, but it serves a social good, right? If you think about it, it allows people to connect quickly. And worldwide, it's a real-time network, and I don't need to tell you about all the good that it's done. Think of like the Arab Spring or in natural disasters where people are able to connect quickly and share vital information in short bursts. And given the fact that it's really a natural for mobile and it's very lightweight, it's really good for that. And because of this, I think it's going to be around for a long time. There's always talk about they need to monetize it. They need to do this, that, or the other thing with their business model. But really, I think for that reason, it's going to stick around. And the only reason that matters to you really is that it's worth the investment of time that you put in to learn the platform and try to get something out of it. Now, as far as total users, I said don't get too hung up on that, but there are about 300 million monthly average users. So there are a lot of people who are using the platform. It tends to be really good for B2B or B2C. And, you know, all of this is free. But, you know, you might want to consider using Twitter ads to boost awareness if that's appropriate. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Now, Twitter is also independently owned, and it's worth noting that they also own Periscope for live video, Vine for little short videos. It works very well with this, with the Twitter core app. And the founders of Twitter started Medium as well, another very popular, and I wouldn't even call it up and coming. I think it's pretty well established right now as a really good social slash blogging platform. All right, let's talk about benefits and then potential pitfalls. Now, the benefits, if you get it right, and getting it right is key, and I'm sure that I'll say this, you know, over and over again, is the idea here is that you want to be providing value to an audience. Twitter is just the plumbing. Facebook is just the plumbing. LinkedIn, YouTube, Google, Instagram, Snapchat, Medium, whatever, it's just a platform. What you do with it is really important. And when you think about it, people are there on social media to connect, right? They're not there to be just sort of sold to or for you to just sort of push out self-serving messages. The goal should be to try to help someone. And the cool thing is that you can do that sort of at scale with these platforms. Now, and Twitter is really great for that. It really is the best platform for building an audience of new people, right? Not people that you already know, right? Other platforms work well for that. So think of LinkedIn as really great for connecting with people you've already done business with or you already know. Facebook, really good for reconnecting with friends, people that you already know. And other platforms will do the same. Instagram is very similar. Snapchat is very much like that. Twitter is great for talking to new folks. So you can make lots of immediate connections and then nurture that audience. And here's the other thing that Twitter's really, really good at, just for pure benefits, is it's got really good statistics on the back end in something called Twitter Analytics. It's all free. It's right there in the Twitter app. And it just gives you a lot of information about all sorts of different stuff, you know, tweets, the impressions, the number of mentions, your followers, you know, the activity on particular tweets, viewing it by month or by week or by any sort of predetermined thing that you decide. It's just great for this. You're able to sort of assess performance. And of course, that's a key part of any content strategy, right? You want to do some measurement on this so that you can tune your strategy and get better and better at it. And Twitter gives you a lot of information about that. So great benefits there. Now, there are also some potential pitfalls to it as well, right? There's a code to Twitter, right? It takes a little bit of learning about, you know, what the social code is there, what are the norms that the audience engages in. You have to get sort of start to understand the difference between at mentions and posts and who's going to see them, how to use hashtags effectively, how many work. I mean, all these are things that you can experiment with, but it's going to take some practice to unlock that. And I would say that'd be the same for almost any platform. But Twitter seems confusing to a lot of folks, a lot of newcomers anyway. But a little practice and you'll get good at that. Now, probably the biggest thing, though, is that, you know, once you get over 2,000 followers, Twitter becomes a fire hose of content. And there is a solution to that, which is using Twitterless. I'll talk about that in a little bit more detail, which helps solve that. But I mean, you know, Twitter's always on and there's always just a flood of content. And you got to pay attention to this and you've got to find methods to be able to weed that out, talk to the people you want to talk to, read the content that you want to read. And you can do this. Like I said, just takes practice in learning the platform. Now, there are some restrictions to Twitter that might affect you too, right? So for instance, we'll talk a little bit more about automation, but doing too much of that can get you blocked. So if you're posting too much material, someone may say, oh, look, this is spam, and they might block you or mute you. And it's their choice to do that. And if you've sort of violated the code, as it were, then you probably deserve that. But just be wary, right? The thing that's good about social platforms from the user perspective is generally they give a lot of control to the user. So if someone's perpetrating some bad behavior or something that's against the code, others can block you, and that is their right. All right, so let's get into strategy. What's your overall strategy for using this platform, right? It's going to be a part of your overall content strategy, and this will be one segment of that. And it's going to work hand in hand with whether you're doing a blog or a podcast or any other sort of form of content that you're using to get out there and drive links using Twitter back to your site. Let me give you at least my sort of philosophy or methodology on this, or how I think about this. And I get a lot out of Twitter. So whether it's for me in my personal account, which is mbozi, that's M-B-O-E-Z-I, if you want to do that while have a look at that while you're listening to this. But there's a couple things. First thing I would say, you have to decide whether you're going to tweet and participate as yourself with a personal account or through a company account. For me, I use both. So either at mbozi for me personally and at Control Mouse for my company, Control Mouse Media. Often I'm running the accounts for, let's say, CEO for a client and their company account. And I'll tell you, as a rule of thumb, it's about 2-to-1 as far as audience growth rate goes from person to company. In other words, it's a great thing to have a company Twitter account and keep that separate. But if you want to see fast growth, it's going to be a lot better if you do that through your own account. And that makes sense, really, when you think about it. People are here to talk to other people. Sometimes they're there to talk to companies, but for the most part, if you're in this to build an audience, to build trust, that's going to happen a lot quicker if it's done from you as a person, not from you as a company. Next up, you know, Twitter is a mix a little bit in the way that I use it, a little bit between sort of broadcast and bi-directional. You're going to be doing a little bit of both, and here's how I do that. One, you'll write a set of tweets, right? Generally speaking, for me, those are derived out of either the outline from this podcast or a blog post. Probably a, let's say, 6 to 12 tweets will work. From any blog post, podcast, or any other piece of content, queue them in a tool like Hootsuite, for instance, and you know, run them over the 30 days, sort of space them out. Twitter's great about this because you can bring in some automation like these, like queuing tweets, as long as you're careful about it, right? You don't want to just post something every 5 minutes or even really, I would say, every hour. Space this stuff out. Find out the rate that works for you and for your audience. But look, you can't just leave it there. You can't just automate it, set it, and forget it, right? You got to go in and interact at least a couple times a day. I make a few minutes to go in, favorite a few things that you might like to retweet later. And of those two, you know, retweets are more valuable than favorites because people will see those in their feed, and that's how this, you know, can sort of multiply over the network effect. And that's how this can sort of multiply over the network, which is very cool. So that's going to be your original content. But also, look, you're going to want to curate stuff from other people's feeds, too. I did an entire post on this, which was called Twitter Basics, Finding the Right Content Mix. I'll put a link in the show notes. And basically, you know, there's lots of advice that says, you know, you got to have a mix of 60-40, 70-30 between original and curated content. To me, there's no right mix. It's I say this over and over again, but it's just do what makes sense for your audience. If you're sharing 90% curated content because you're not a writer or you're not producing a lot of content on your own, that's fine as long as your audience is getting something out of it. If you're providing value to them, awesome. That's great. They're going to like that. They're going to thank you, and you're going to get some of the shine from that, even when it's not original content. But also, when you do share someone else's content, not only is this the right thing to do, but it's also good for that network effect. Be generous. Thank others publicly for sharing and or creating good content. It's really good practice and expected on Twitter. But also part of your strategy is going to be to be active about inviting others. You're going to do that either directly or by mentioning them, right? So directly, you can do that via search to find users. You can do that right in Twitter via hashtags, find out what people are talking about, or other tools that can help with sort of, they're called sort of social listening tools or audience building tools. I use one called Audience, spelled A-U-D-I-E-N-S-E, a little funky spelling. And I find that one helps me. That is a paid tool, but there are a bunch of free tools that you can use for this as well. And by the way, I should mention, if you go to my site, I'll put a link in the show notes. I do have a free download of what I call my content strategy tool set. So it's a list of all the tools that I use, not just for Twitter, but for really for running my own content strategy and my clients too. And you can just go there and download that off my site. So you're active about inviting others. Do that through that direct search. You know, you can do it sort of indirectly by mentioning them, right? So if they've shared something that's a good article, you know, basically you can just sort of either retweet or send a note back to them at so-and-so. Hey, thanks for the great article. This was really fantastic. Good job, whatever, right? And now you've alerted them to your presence. You've said something nice to them. It's fairly natural. You won't get this all the time, but it's fairly natural for them to reciprocate. And that means they bring their audience to you as well. So now you get a little bit of exposure with that too. So it's good practice, you know, again, not to just to be generous, but also it's effective too. And I've done an entire post on this one too. It's called Twitter Basics, The Etiquette of Following and Following Back. This is on my site too. Let me leave another link there in the show notes so that you can, you know, you really want to dig into the, you know, just sort of the protocol of how this works. Because that's the thing that can really start to grow your audience if you're active about this. And you do need to do that, right? Because you want to have people who are active, engaged, and listening to you and paying attention to you because you're sharing good stuff. Now, to that end, a lot of this is going to be textual content. That's Twitter's bread and butter. But more and more, Twitter's been better about using images and videos, and it makes a huge difference to the click-through rate. I won't get into quoting all the stats on this, but look, images, tweets with images and with videos, whether it's via Vine or, you know, some other method or some other platform, they do very, very well. And here's a note, it's great if you can share these natively within Twitter, not just pulled from your post, right? So in other words, actually make the post with an image in it and then a link to your article. And it's also good to experiment with creating some dedicated images that are just for Twitter. Find the specifications for this, build an image, and you'll get better click-through rates on those types of posts. You can't do that all the time, and I see some people who do that. One, it's a lot of work. And two, you want to vary your posts a little bit throughout the day or throughout the week. Now, as I mentioned before, you're definitely going to want to use lists to help you organize. I have a bunch more about this as well on another article that I wrote called How to Build an Audience on Twitter. Again, leave a link in the show notes. Look, it's going to be a fire hose of content unless you do this. And the cool thing about lists is it allows you to sort of build as many that you want, and you can focus on particular audience segments and subsegments. So for instance, I have a list that's called Consistently Good Content, because these are people who are just sharing great stuff all the time. So now I get the chance to sort of check in with that every once in a while and say, oh, hey, great, this is a source of great content for me to retweet, and it's right there. Or I have other segments for instance, let's say potential clients, you know, other folks that I might like to pay attention to that are sort of in the same segment. I can do that via lists. That would be near impossible if it was just under the Twitter sort of main stream. You don't want that stream. That stream is just going to get too overwhelming once you get a bunch of followers. You're going to want to use lists. And a little thing that I should also mention, I've said this before too, but don't use the auto DM features. It's such a sucky practice. It makes you look bad if you do it. Think about it. The way this thing works is, suppose I follow you and I get an automatic direct message that welcomes me and says, hey, would you like to download my ebook? Look, we just met, right? This whole social realm is meant to mimic the actual social world. And if basically you're pushing something on me, even if it's couched in a nice way, and you know, we don't know each other that well now, it's a little weird to do that. And I think it's kind of off-putting. I talk a lot more about this in, this is another article called Twitter Basics, Direct Messages. Again, a link in the show notes. Just not a good practice. I think it's not worth the exchange. So yes, you've reached out, you've welcomed someone, you think you're doing good, but actually I think that whole transaction really is net negative for you. And I just don't recommend doing it. All right, another piece of your strategy is to get the statistics, download them from Twitter Analytics. You're going to find that under your little icon on the top right in the web app. Just click that menu and find Analytics. It's going to give you a dashboard. Download the tweets every few months, and I do just a quick sort to find out which were the best performing ones using a couple different qualifications. You can figure that out on your own. And take the best performing tweets. I probably pull about 50 of them over the past few months and then run those again. You can do this, again, you got to be clever about it, but you can do this on Twitter. It's one of the really nice things about it. So for instance, if I knew it ran in the morning, then I might run that one in the afternoon, just because that's when people are online. Maybe they saw it in the morning before, and now maybe they won't see it in the afternoon. And you get the idea. It's, you know, Twitter's forgiving about that because it's so fast. It just, you know, I don't think this bugs people as much, as long as you're not being too heavy about it. That's all. Now, the last thing I would say is just, you know, try different things on this, right? One thing I like to do is pin a post to the top of your page. You can do that. Each tweet has a little menu. You can't do this with tweets that you've retweeted, but your own content. Suppose one that you have that is performing well or people seem to be reacting to it. Great. Pin it to your profile so it's always the first tweet that people will see. You can try polls. Twitter polls are really good. You can build these little tiny, very short polls where you can ask something of your audience and you'll see the stats in real time. Good way to get people to engage with you, show that you care about particular issues. Use that as a way to sort of showcase the things that are important to you, and you're going to learn something from it. So it's great. And in a more broad sense, I mean, for market research in general, Twitter is an excellent listening tool, right? It's very, very easy to set up automatic hashtag searches, for instance, right? To do that in something like Hootsuite. You can pay attention to what's going on out there. You can get that feed that comes to you so that you don't have to do that all the time. You can sort of automate that portion of it so that you're sort of seeing what's happening, getting a real-time view of your industry and what people are talking about, which is really important, right? And the last thing I'll say is, you know, most of all, just have fun with it. It's, you know, I've had great conversations with folks on Twitter. I've learned a lot from folks. It's just been, you know, it's been a great platform for me. I've gotten a lot out of it. Yes, you hear things about people engaging in sort of negative or bullying tactics. That's going to happen on any social platform. But honestly, you know, I think I could count the times that's happened on one hand. For me, usually I think if you go into this with a generous mindset, you're not trying to just bug people or trying to sell to them. You're just trying to help them and share good stuff. You know, people may argue with that or may take issue with something that you've posted. But for the most part, if it's done in a respectful way, you've done it with a positive intent, genuine desire to help someone, usually you're not going to get into those types of scrapes. And I found it to be just overwhelmingly positive. So that's Twitter in a nutshell. And, you know, I hope that you find this to be helpful. If you're, you know, if you're not using it, I just say, get in there and try it. Really give it a shot because it's just, you know, it works for a lot of people, including myself, and it can work for you too. And if you have been using it, try some different things until it clicks, right? If you feel like you've not gotten enough out of it. And, you know, hopefully this segment here will give you an idea or some ideas of how to do that. I hope that it'll be helpful to you. Now, in this episode, I didn't cover Twitter ads or Twitter cards. I'm going to do a whole segment on that, too, because that's sort of getting into the paid portion of Twitter, and that can be effective, too. So if you like what you hear, please subscribe. if you haven't already, not only Twitter ads, but I'm also going to go into all these different social platforms, Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, Google+, Snapchat, Periscope, on and on and on, and hope that you'll get something out of that. And you know, there's tons of platforms out there, and maybe you haven't found the right one for your business yet. That's why I wanted to make these small bite-sized pieces. And yes, I went on a little bit long. I'm going to try to keep these a little more contained in the other ones. It's just that I like Twitter so much, and it's really such an important platform for me. But I generally want to keep these, like this podcast, small bite-sized pieces so you can take a quick tour, get the pros and cons, and then get back to work, right? Building an audience is really hard. But if you produce the right content and get it in the right channels, you can really do some great things. And I just hope to help you with that. So until next time, thanks for listening. Really appreciate it.